Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Good Monday, everyone. Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. I am safely ensconced in the chateau. Yes, the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, we have the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Seals Grove, routes 11 to 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Today, we'll evaluate the Steeler and Eagles drafts, Ravens draft, Giants draft, Jets draft. It's amazing how, as I pointed out on Friday's show, how comfortable certain fans are with the people who make their drafts. For example, you're not going to hear a lot of complaints about the Ravens draft. Why? Ozzie Newsome is the one conducting the draft. You're not going to hear a lot of complaints about the Giants draft because Jerry Reese, along with Tom Coughlin, are the ones conducting the Giants draft. There's a lot of trust in Jerry Reese and what he wants to do. The Eagles get a pass, I think, for most fans because of Chip Kelly. Steelers have a pretty good track record as well. Then there are other franchises, like the Jets, where there is no trust. Arizona, no trust. Dwindling trust in Dallas and other places along the way. Then there's Kevin. Panic extraordinaire. Every single pick going by, thinking and analyzing, gnawing at the nails. Having another pickle from Brewer's Outlet, another beverage from Brewer's Outlet, more snacks that he picked up along the way. Meanwhile, his wife calling Purdy Insurance hotline over the weekend, making sure they are fully insured as each pick went by. It's amazing. But now it's over with. The blood pressure's down. Panic has set in. Maybe a little depression as well. And now we're about to get his analysis on how the weekend went. I know I'm anxious to find out. And so is Dan Patrick, who's here with Above the Noise.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Few Penn Staters were drafted, and a couple of them to Minnesota. We'll talk more about that with the NFL draft with Steve Jones in the Sunbury Motors studio coming up here in just a few short minutes. Big news of the day, though, Tim Tebow is no longer a Jet. Does that mean he's going to go to the Canadian Football League? I think it's Montreal that still owns the rights to Tim Tebow, although I may be maybe a little off on that, but I think it's Montreal that's still the Alouettes that still owe them the rights. And if I remember right, in watching one or two games in the past season, they have a pretty solid quarterback there. So I don't know if that's going to be his next move to play quarterback. Nobody really showed any interest in him at all as a quarterback. Some teams have expressed some interest in maybe having him as a running back or a wide receiver or even maybe a tight end. So we'll have to keep our ears open and find out what happens there. Although he got paid quite a hunk of change there, a few zeros behind the first number. Just to sit on the bench and maybe get into, what, seven plays through the year? I still don't understand why the Jets made that deal. I think it all goes to the front office, which is kind of what Steve was saying a few moments ago with the Jets. No one has any confidence, if you're a Jets fan, in their front office. And it's moves like getting Tebow and then basically the rest of the team and especially the coaching staff not wanting him there. And making him kind of an outsider in the entire team that makes fans go, does this team really have a clue, or does this front office really have a clue on what's going on? But there are other teams you could sit in the draft and sit watching the draft as a fan and go, okay, that's a good pick. I like that. You know, that's a decent pick. I thought Minnesota did a really nice job, especially on in round number one. I think they did it. They filled out their needs very, very well with those picks. I mean, they needed wide receiver, linebacker, and corner. So they go out and they get a solid lineman. Then they get a corner. Then they get a wide receiver. And then they take care of outside linebacker in round number four. And felt that they had plenty of room at outside to pick up Gerald Hodges or whoever they've been looking they had on their board if there was anybody ahead of him. So that's why they felt comfortable picking Hodges in round number four. And then later on, picking up Michael Mani in round number seven. There, as Steve said, a very, very solid pick. I mean, if you look at the rating system, the grade that NFL.com put on, Mani comes in at 71.8 and was picked in the seventh round. Hodges comes in at 72.4 and was picked in the fourth round. We'll see if Mani becomes one of those value picks that you keep hearing about over the last few days. How did your team do? Love to hear from you later on this afternoon at 1-800-795-9565. That number again, 800-795-9565. That is our Hilshire's General Store hotline. And if you have an opportunity here this week driving around, or especially on the weekend, and you may have a few extra minutes driving maybe to Harrisburg or going somewhere over the weekend, make it a point to stop by Hilshire's General Store. See some of the things they have to offer their full hardware department, plus a brand new line of items that I'll tell you about a little bit later on that will let you make your own flavored water, good for baking. And, of course, the food there is fantastic. So if you stop by at lunch and dinner time, you can definitely grab a bite there on Saturday or any other time, Monday through Friday at Hilshire's General Store. You'll find a lot of unique things that you won't find anywhere else, especially gift ideas. Mother's Day is coming up. Just a thought. Baltimore Ravens, another one of the teams that's followed quite a bit here in the Susquehanna Valley. They filled all their needs, at least on paper anyway. Elam, I thought, was a gift from the Cowboys. I still don't understand Jerry Jones' first pick in the draft. But Matt Elam from Florida, the free safety, definitely was one of their needs. And then they went with Arthur Brown from Kansas State, another good pick there in round two. Brandon Williams, a defensive tackle from Missouri Southern, handled some of their defensive positions that maybe weren't huge holes right now, but will become one eventually. And had a couple of picks at defensive end as well, and picked up a fullback from Harvard that I had an opportunity to see earlier in the month of, I think it was October. And I'll tell you what, he runs very hard at 6'1". 248. So that's just a rundown of some of the Ravens picks. If you look ahead to the Eagles again had a pretty decent draft themselves. Chip Kelly's first one. Lance Johnson, as Steve said on Friday, very good pick to open things up. The 6'6", 303-pounder from Oklahoma. And then I thought the interesting pick happened in round number four was Matt Barkley. He was definitely a value on the Eagles board in round four because of his way But it's interesting because of the spread offense. You know, Mike Mayock was talking about it being a misconception. He said you could spread it and throw the football. What does it tell you about the staff and what they think about Nick Foles? Barkley might be the most developed pro-style quarterback, similar to Foles was going to be. But now you have to wonder if Nick Foles is in the mix now or if this is just a way to weed out whether he's actually worthwhile or not. And, of course, in just a few minutes, we'll talk about the Steelers' picks as well. And I'll tell you what, I wasn't upset about it. I wasn't upset about them. Two picks I'm not ecstatic about, but I think there's potential there.
Did it go exactly the way I said it would go?
Let's see. Exactly? No, I think you had Landry Jones being picked in the fifth round.
Instead of the fourth.
No, you had it in the fourth. It went exactly how you said it was going to end up going.
The anger with which you assaulted with me on Saturday.
There was no anger. I said, when they picked Bell, I said, not my first choice at running back, but I think he's fixable.
I told you he was my first choice on the board for running back, and that's who they should pick.
I think he's fixable.
Fixable what? Fix what? He actually, I would recommend that he gain 5 pounds.
Well, I think he needs to. I do. I agree with that.
He was 240 pounds. All right. And what he did was he lost 10 for the combine because he wanted to run a quicker 40 time. But that's not who he is. He's athletic. He is an excellent north-south runner, an excellent north-south runner. You put him between the tackles or you run a stretch with him, he'll give you forward motion and forward lean every single time. So that will not be an issue.
That's right? The one I'm worried about.
When he gets a little, what are you worried about? When he gets a little east-west.
That's what I'm worried about.
He's not that great.
That's what I'm worried about. His east-west is an issue.
But neither are Lacy or Ball. Why do you think when Wisconsin went east-west, they brought James White in? And why do you think when Alabama wanted to go east-west, they brought in T.J. Yeldon? I rest my case. The show's over.
Now, Landry Jones, on the other hand, I was okay with that. I was okay. I thought he forced the ball an awful lot, but I thought he felt he had to. However, he's got plenty of time to develop right now. They don't need him to step in tomorrow. So
this
now he
Ryan
can develop.
Nassib, Pittsburgh, this is Ryan Nassib, Pittsburgh Steelers style. That's what it is.
I mean,
I think the Giants thought the Steelers were going to go after Nassib at that point, and thus they traded up to get him.
Yeah, you know, I just think, you know, he's looked pretty good. He just, you know, it's the making decisions under pressure. And if the line holds, and if they've drafted linemen well over the last couple of years, and on paper it looks that way, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yet on paper, people will tell you that your prime competitors had better drafts.
You know what? I don't hold a lot to those ratings. I really don't. I mean, in 3 years, you can have a discussion about it. But until that time, I just don't think you can have a discussion.
Oh, come on.
I've seen a lot of second and third round Steelers picks not even get 1 year, more than a year under their belt.
Oh, come on. It's like recruiting, for goodness sakes.
I think it's fun to talk about.
He's the 72nd ranked player in the entire. Really? Really? Well, what's there between 72 and 71? They can never answer.
See, that's what I think is. I think it's fun to talk about the grading system. I think it's fun to look at how they place because of the grading system. By the way, best value pick, as far as the Steelers are concerned, happened in round 3 with Wheaton.
Well, Todd McShay does not do grades, for one thing. I, of course, do not bother with that. I watched NFL Network. They actually talk football.
No, they grade, too. Don't let them kid you.
No, I'm talking about the show.
Oh, okay.
I don't need to cut back to Bristol and watch what that gaggle has to say.
But I think Marcus Wheaton was a very, very big pick in the third round at pick 79.
Right. Now, as for Nick Foles, I will be frank with you. I was not a Nick Foles guy when I saw him at Arizona. I never thought it was a good pick. I said last year I didn't think it was a good pick. I thought it was a reach.
It doesn't look like he's going to be there much longer.
But Barkley is not. Barkley, I think, is the right choice, and that guy can play. You know, Chip Kelly's about putting people in the best spots to succeed, not about all about substance and style.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Kevin is scouring everywhere he can find to find which Canadian League team has the rights to Tim Tebow.
I was right. It's the Alouettes.
That's fabulous.
Isn't it?
It just makes you want to sit back and say, bonjour. Look, this is not Tim Tebow's fault, okay, at all. This is not Tim Tebow's fault at all. This is the fault of the New York Jets. Without a doubt. He took 77 snaps this year. He threw 8 passes. And you cannot, remember we talked about organizations the other day?
Yeah, I just got done talking about that a few minutes ago.
When the Giants trade up to get Ryan Nassib, okay, what do Giants fans do?
They just kind of sat there and went, all right.
Okay. Because between Ernie Accorsi and now Jerry Reese and Super Bowl championships, which they've had 2 of the last 5, they sit back and go, you know what? They know what they're looking for. They know what they're doing. The Jets do anything because it is such a bizarrely run organization that their fans sit back and they panic every 2 seconds. Why? Because it's justified. They have done nothing to make you think that they know what they're doing. There was a period of time, especially on defense, where it looked like they did. That's why they got the 2 straight AFC championship games and they were on the verge. But once they got to the doorstep, they never closed the deal. Just never closed the deal. They had brought in Tomlinson. They had that with Sean Green, okay, that made sense. They lost all their wideouts. Now, of course, you go nuts over Jericho Cotri being, part of that Steelers stable.
I'm happy to have him. He's been a good first down or a good third down receiver.
What?
He's been a go-to guy on third down in the slot. They've been able to go
for
to
who?
Him.
For who?
The Steelers. Not every play.
He's, what?
He's in the 3 and 4 receiver sets. Usually the slot. They've gone to him several times late in the year, especially to get a big first down.
No. Okay, Victor Cruz. Okay, is a dependable third down guy. Okay, Wes Welker is a dependable third down guy. Okay? what do you
I respectfully disagree.
What are you seeing that I'm not seeing?
A lot of Steeler football games.
I watch every game.
And a lot of times he's picking up multiple coverages too.
Really?
Really. No, I realize they don't utilize. He's not an A receiver, no. He's the third guy on the list, and right now he might be moving up to two right now, but he's the third guy on the list right now. Knows how to run a route. I mean, he is a very solid third receiver, fourth receiver in a set. And he plays a lot of football games. You know, I may not go to him every time, but he's there.
It's like being a sideline reporter. You're at every game.
They don't always go to you when you have some information that you want to share.
But you're there.
But you're there, darn it.
It's fabulous. Wow.
I mean, he did have a 31-yard touchdown reception this year. Or was that last year? That might have been last year. Sorry. I had a flashback. That was last year.
It's so memorable.
That was last year.
You don't even know what year it was.
It was last year. Guy averages, you know, 12 yards a catch. That, hey, you know what? That's a first down. That's a first down.
Yes, it is.
Is he going to be the guy that's going to go down the middle and beat somebody deep? No. But that wasn't his job.
What is his job?
His job is to go 10 yards, do an in, do an out, catch the ball, first down, sit on the bench, wait for third down again. All right, get to your point.
They need more guys.
What was your point here? Where did all this start before it went off on a tangent?
They need more guys. They need more guys. Okay. They had to find something somewhere.
You were talking about the Jets.
Yeah, well, he's a former Jet. It's, you know. Update on Penn State players. Of course, we know Mahdi and Hodges both went to the Vikings and Hill to the Seahawks. Free agents, Matt Stankavich signed with the Patriots. Stephon Morris signed with the Patriots. Michael Zordich signed with the Carolina Panthers. Mike Farrell signed with the Steelers. Matt McGloin did not sign with anybody, but he's going to a rookie camp on Thursday. You're writing all that down, aren't you?
No, I was just trying to figure out which rookie camp.
Well, I don't know. I just know he's going to a rookie camp. It's at an undisclosed location.
It's one of those. at a location to be disclosed later. See, this is the day that the Sunday and Monday are the days that I find even almost as interesting as draft day. It's like, where are you going to pick up the guy that everybody didn't have on their board and turn him into something? And here's my question for you. How many times has that happened? I mean, how many times has that happened? Is it rare or does it happen a lot?
No, it doesn't happen that often. That's why it stands out when it does.
I didn't think so, but I could be wrong.
That's why it stands out when it does. You know, you know, it'll happen. It'll say, yeah, look, see, you know, he was, you know, unsigned, you know, free agent. Blah, blah. You know, it happens, but it's not. It happens less than you think in terms of, like, you know, being a huge contributor. So.
Well, you were talking a little bit about the Jets and fans not having any confidence in the front office or, at this point, the coaching staff. Which I totally agree with, and you can tell every pick that the Jets made, half the Jets fans were cheering, half the Jets fans were booing because they couldn't figure out why. Even the first round pick, I thought, got a couple of boos from Jets fans because they wanted a quarterback.
No, the first round went fine. Milner was a great pick on paper, and Richardson's a great pick on paper. No, the first round, the Jets did really well. The Geno Smith thing, like, I'll be honest with you. Okay, you know what? There's a common denominator in Geno Smith's mediocre games. You know what they happen to be?
What's that?
Oh, come on! You follow the draft like the back of your hand. You're a draft Nick. You read all this stuff. What's the common denominator in all of Geno Smith's mediocre games?
in all of his media. Well, he has big plays. I don't know. What are you looking at? What are you looking for? Share.
Weather.
Weather? Weather.
Weather's lousy. He's lousy.
Well, it wasn't too good in the Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah, but it's beyond that. You know, they played Iowa State, lousy. He had a lousy game. They played Texas Tech, weather lousy. He played a lousy game. He had a lot of his mediocre games have been in mediocre weather.
So what you're saying is he would have been better in San Diego?
Okay, well, I'm telling you, the NFL doesn't have a franchise in the Caribbean.
Arizona would have been all right. That's indoors a lot of times when it's bad.
Well, and being an indoor quarterback would have helped him. The fact that he got selected by the Jets, I'm telling you, he's not the first guy I would have selected. And I still say today, Matt Barkley to Philadelphia and Landry Jones to Pittsburgh are better picks than Geno Smith to the Jets.
Although go ahead.
And I like E.J. Manuel, too. I know he has moments of misjudgment, don't they all? But I don't blame Buffalo for picking Manuel first. Size, can run the read option, and has a big arm. And in the All-Star games, I thought E.J. Manuel looked really, really good. In fact, I thought of all the quarterbacks, he looked the best of the group. The guys that don't have a lot of confidence in, I did not have a lot of confidence in Mike Glennon. And Geno Smith, I still have the jury's out for me.
Well, Barkley staying another year, that cost him a big hunk of change.
Probably about $10
million. And what scares me is now players are going to look at that going, okay, I'm a junior. They're projecting me here. I'm going to go now. I'm not sure if that's good or bad for college football, though.
You got to make your own choice at that moment is what you want to do. That's been a decision people have been making for a long time now.
No, I realize that. I'm just saying, I don't know if that's good or bad for college football if you have all these players leaving early and then, you know, look what NBA is a really good example.
Well, the NBA, here's where the NBA is completely out, where these guys are completely out of it. You'll have 65 guys declare early for the draft. Right?
Right. I think I know where you're going.
There are 60 spots. Right.
Even if everybody gets drafted, five guys are still going to be looking on the outside.
There are 60 spots. 65, 70 guys will declare for the draft. Big Ten realignment. We'll talk about that in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm safely ensconced and away from Kevin in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Roads 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Was that a sigh I just heard?
No, it was a chuckle. Safely away. There'll be a day, don't worry.
Oh, no, there's a lock on the door. All right. Of course, don't forget, 1-800-795-9565 is the Hilscher's General Store hotline. Powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Now's the time to go to get everything you need to make sure your garden is ready to go. Oh, you can pick up some snacks along the way, too. If you're going to do the garden, you might as well snack. You snack, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
What bothers me is you were trying to decide. We'll come back with more here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. We don't usually venture into this area. I'll talk about realignment next hour. But for those of you who don't know it, but you're going to find out a lot about it, is that Jason Collins has become the first player in major American sports to announce that he is gay. He has played with six teams in the NBA over a dozen years at Stanford. And he's been a good, solid player. That's why he's been in the league for a dozen years. He played early with the Celtics this year and then with the Washington Wizards this year. And he says he still wants to continue to play. above all, my reaction is, so what? And I would think that the community would want to have a reaction of, so what? Whatever, you know, whatever he wants to do and live his life, let him live his life. We're too critical of everything.
Let him live his life.
I don't see any, I don't know why there's a need to come out and say it, but okay. I mean, none of us are having a press conference next week to say, what, you know, that we're heterosexual, but that's, you know, that's fine. But it's going to be a big deal, especially today, especially tomorrow. It's the cover of Sports Illustrated this week, and it's, okay. Next. I guess the next big thing will be if an NFL player comes out. Okay. But again, just live your life. Live your life. I don't care how you want to live your life, as long as you're not harming the community in any way. I could care less. You know, everyone's going to have their own opinions on this, obviously. But, you know, and people may disagree. But number one, I don't really see the need, because I don't think it's anybody's business. And I say, okay, fine. Next. Tony in Shamokin. Hello, Tony. How are you?
Good. I'm great. This basketball player that come out that he's gay.
Yeah.
He's 36 years old. He's on the last year of his contract, right? What better way to ensure that you get a contract? Who's going to get rid of him now?
Well, he's been with six teams in 12 years, Tony, so people have had no problem getting rid of him in the past.
you're right. But, I mean, you know, he pretty much assured himself. If anybody would cut him now, could you imagine what would be said?
Well, I mean, that's a very interesting point. But again, if you want to be treated, quote, like everybody else, well, part of being treated like everybody else is getting cut or not being offered a contract, and it has nothing to do with, you know, especially with salary caps, age enters into it. It would be actually, for him, probably more age discrimination than it is orientation discrimination.
I would think so, but I guarantee you he'll have a contract next year. But I agree with you, Steve. Why even announce it? So what?
Right. I've thought this the entire time, Tony, that it's a so what moment. I know it's big. It's evidently it's big for the community as a rallying point. But to me, it's a so what moment. I don't really care. To me, people are people. So whatever you do when I'm not around, as long as it's not harming the community in any way, is your business. Just like my business is my business. Hey, that's right.
Good talking to you, Steve. Have a good day.
Tony, a pleasure. Thank you. 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565.
Hey, great news. The logo that I picked for college football's playoff is the logo they're going to use. I'm excited. I haven't backed a winner in a while, so I'm very excited.
Okay.
Listen, when you look at these three logos, there's only one that really makes sense. The first one looked like a copy of the old AFL-NFL logo. The third one, I have no idea how to describe that one. And the only thing I could think of with the last one was it looked like a compass. Don't worry, I'll put it on stevejonesshow.com. You'll be able to see it in a minute.
Okay. Do you know how irrelevant I think that is?
Yes, that's why I mentioned it, because you would think it's irrelevant. Me, on the other hand, I think it's very
Do you know what the most important part of that is?
what?
Is that they're going
that
to play
there is one? That there's a game?
There is a game. This is like when they put out leaders and legends in the Big Ten. You know what my reaction was to that? Who cares?
Mine is it sounds dumb. Called.
I don't care, though. I don't care what it's called. The bottom line is that there was going to be a championship game. Okay, the bottom line is you're going to be playing those five teams in that division. Those are the five you had to beat. That is the relevant part. What it's called. I don't care what it's called. Bozo the Clown.
Oh, I really care if it's called that.
But I don't. Who cares?
Because that's for the fan, though. That's not for you. That's for the fans.
Yeah, but that's what the fans should be caring about. They should be caring about the fact, okay, now wait a minute. Okay, so Penn State every year now is going to be playing Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State, no matter what.
I care about that.
And Maryland. That's what everybody should care about, not what it's called.
All I know is the logo looks cool.
I can see, for example, fans caring about your team's logo. Okay, because look, that's the stuff you're buying. Okay, that's the merchandise that you're buying. So you should care about that as a fan. What is Penn State's logo? What do they put on a shirt? Okay, the logo of the college football playoff. I mean, so what? Nobody's going to buy that anyway. Or the sales are going to be relatively small just for the teams that are going to be there. Okay? But when you put out, for example, if Penn State were to put out a new logo tomorrow, yeah, I would care. Okay, because that's the merchandise the fans are buying out there, and they want to feel like, wow, hey, this is sharp. I like it. It looks good, the whole thing, tape. I mean, and you want to have that. That's why when we look at what like Maryland has done with their Under Armour stuff, I look around and go, I don't know if I'd want to wear it. And that's a big thing. Because you want your fans wearing your logoed stuff and have them feel great that that's what the logo is. The logo of the college football playoff or what the name of the divisions are in the Big Ten? Here's one, irrelevant.
That was already taken by the last pick in the draft.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS.